Good afternoon, everybody. I'm your host, Andrew Richard, host of Richard's Ringside Radio. Hope everyone's doing well. Hope everyone's doing safely, driving safely, in this windy weather. We're doing today's show remote. I'm currently using my own microphone. I myself am not even home. I'm trapped in Burlington because of this weather. We tried to leave last night, but the wind was just too bad. So I am here, unable to go to the studio today. And not even able to do my show from my soundstage in my apartment. But, you know, I luckily had my microphone with me. And so we got lucky that I had my stuff with me, and I'm able to do my show today. So I hope everyone who is a student enjoyed a nice, relaxing reading week. I know I did. And unfortunately, these things have to come to an end, and we got to get back into the grind. But regardless, we're back, and hey, why not celebrate the end of reading week with some hockey news? There's plenty going around the league right now, especially considering today, February 25th, is the NHL trade deadline. So, without further ado, let us get right into the news. So, ironically, the first thing I bring up is not a trade, but forward Joel Ward, former National Predator, San Jose Shark, Washington Capital, Montreal Canadian, retires after 11 seasons in the NHL. So congratulations to him. Again, some of this may be old news because it might have been from last week. The Anaheim Ducks placed their goaltender John Gibson on the injury reserve with injuries to his head, neck, and back after colliding with his own defenseman. Here's a bit of trade news for you. The Edmonton Oilers trade Ryan Spooner to the Vancouver Canucks for Sam Gagne. So Gagne returning to the Oilers, which is good. Both players needed a change of scenery. But the trade... Spooner getting traded, it marks a rather interesting time because he came over from, I believe, in the Ryan Strome deal. Or no, in the... No, okay, no, yeah, he did come over from the Rangers in the Ryan Strome deal and then was placed on waivers and then, you know, got moved to Vancouver. So, I mean, it's been a rough couple of months for Ryan Spooner, so I imagine he's looking to... You know, get a change of pace out in Vancouver, maybe where he's not demanded so much like he was in Edmonton or with New York. So yeah, I mean, we'll have to see what that does for him. Sam Gagne was playing out in the AHL with Vancouver, so hopefully now with Edmonton he can relive some of his better days when he was with the Oilers. Speaking of better days, the Anaheim Ducks retiring former Cup champion and captain Scott Niedermeyer's number 27 a couple days ago or a week or so. They retired his number 27 at the Honda Center. Keeping with the Anaheim Ducks, Anaheim goalie Ryan Miller becomes the all-time leader in wins by a U.S.-born goaltender. So congratulations to Ryan Miller. I mean, he's had a great career. I feel like he's been kind of underrated his whole career. You know, it sucks he's never won any major trophies himself. He surely deserves it. Carried Buffalo for a lot of good years. A lot of terrible years, I should say. So yeah, congratulations to him. All right, now we're getting into the nitty-gritty, all the stuff you guys have been looking forward to. The first trade I'm dropping, well, I guess the second trade after the Spooner trade. But here we go. The Washington Capitals trading a third-round pick and a conditional sixth-round pick for forward Carl Hagelin of the LA Kings. So the Kings will retain 50% of Hagelin's contract. Meanwhile, the Penguins are still retaining $250,000 of Hagelin's contract when he got traded to... Los Angeles earlier in the season. So I looking at that trade, it's a pretty solid deal for the Caps. I mean, it's a very low risk. The Caps third round pick is going to be really really late in the draft, and the conditional sixth round pick only happens if I can't remember if either Hagelin signs back or the Caps make it a certain depth in the playoffs. Okay, moving on from that, here is a pretty big deal. Again, let me before I get into a lot of the trades here, I want to say that this has been one of the most exciting and it's just been one of the most exciting deadlines I've seen in a long time. Like normally most deadlines, you know, you sit, you watch TSN or you watch Sportsnet, and there's maybe like five deals at the beginning, and then like 4 hours of waiting, and then like a minor deal here, a minor this deadline day has been absolutely nuts. When I was writing my notes today, I mean, I thought my hand was gonna fall off. I've never written so many trades. For a show ever, and it's pretty crazy. I've never seen this many trades, probably not in a long time. And I'm not talking about like a lot of money. Like there are some massive deals to done today. But again, let's get back in it. The Ottawa Senators trading forward Matt Duchene to the Columbus Blue Jackets along with defenseman Julius Bergman. And Columbus is sending to Ottawa prospects Vitali Abramov, Jonathan Davidson, a 2019 first round pick, and a 2020 conditional first round pick. Now, I believe that 2020 conditional first round pick is if Duchene signs back with Columbus. So, Columbus making a big splash, but more on that later. Pretty solid deal, in my opinion. Player for prospects. The Sens moving in the right direction. The Detroit Red Wings and the struggling franchise, they trade away defenseman Nick Jensen to the Washington Capitals for and a 2019 fifth round pick to the Washington Capitals for defenseman Madison Bowie and a 2020 second round pick. I think it's a solid deal. The Caps getting a good solid defenseman in Jensen who will round out their top six quite nicely. They signed him to a 4-year extension, $10 million with a $2.5 million average. So yeah, solid deal for both teams, really. The Wings get a good young defenseman slash prospect, I guess, Madison Bowie, second round pick. We'll see how that pans out, where it lands, because it's in 2020. And the Caps, picking up a solid defenseman and a fifth round pick, which is going to be high in the fifth round. So a solid deal for both sides. The Dallas Stars trading Connor Carrick and a 2019 third round pick to the New Jersey Devils for defenseman Ben Lovejoy. The Devils looking to improve their defense corps. Because, it's pretty weak what you get past. Really, the top two and the top four is not terrible, but, you want to improve that. So Lovejoy should be able to round out that top six. Some news that's not really a trade, but notable, I would argue. Edmonton captain Connor McDavid suspended 2 games for his illegal hit to the head of Nick Leddy. McDavid doesn't think he should be suspended. The organization doesn't think he should be suspended, but I think he should have. If you saw the hit, I would argue that it was a dangerous hit. Regardless of the name on the back of the jersey, I think every player should be held up to a certain set of standards and rules as far as player safety. So I don't think any player should be exempt from those rules. And McDavid learning that one the hard way. Speaking of young players, Philadelphia will be without their goaltender, I guess their young rookie goaltender, Carter Hart. As he will be out for 10 days with a lower body injury, but it is expected that the Flyers will send him down for the AHL playoffs. There's a lot of goaltender movement out in Philadelphia, but more on that in a moment. The Ottawa Senators, again, making big splashes. Heading into the deadline, they had as a lot of people were saying, the big three. And it was Matt Duchene, Mark Stone, and Ryan Dzingel, all three big players in the Senators organization that could either re-sign or be traded away. And Matt Duchene was traded to Columbus, and another domino fell as Ryan Dzingel also being traded to the Columbus Blue Jackets for forward Anthony Duclair and 2 second-round picks. So the Columbus Blue Jackets also getting a 7th-round pick from the Sens. I think it's a really solid deal by the Blue Jackets. They get Dzingel, who looking to score 30 goals this year. I would put him in my top six, but I mean, depth provided, he might be playing on the third line, which would really just add some scoring depth for the Jackets, who would look to win their first playoff round. Moving on, keeping in the Metro Division, however, the New York Rangers trade forward longtime Ranger Matt Zuccarello to the Dallas Stars for a 2019 second round pick and a third round pick. The Rangers will retain 30% of Zuccarello's contract. However, Zuccarello had a great game with Dallas' first game, scoring a goal and an assist. However, he got injured, blocked a shot, and will be out at least 4 weeks with an upper body injury. So it's a hard one to take. So if the Dallas Stars can keep pushing for a playoff spot, land in a playoff spot, and Zuccarello's back in time for the playoffs, that should help them out. It may surprise a few teams in the playoffs. So I think that's a pretty solid deal. I think a few weeks ago, the price might have been a second round and maybe a sixth round pick for Zuccarello, but because Zuccarello's really been heating up the last 20 games or so, I think that it warrants getting the picks. It's just a shame that he got injured as soon as he got there. In brighter news, Florida goaltender Roberto Luongo ties Ed Belfour for third all-time in NHL wins amongst goalies. So, very impressive feat for old Bobby Lou as he continues to rise up the records and accolades or accolades, sorry. For goaltenders, he's had a long, great career, and we'll continue to see how far Bobby Lou's going to be pushing things and where he finishes all time. Cool. Okay. Back to business here. The Bruins sign longtime veteran Lee Stepniak to a one-year deal. He used to play with the Bruins for, I believe it was like a season or something, a couple of years ago. So Stepniak has 203 goals and 469 points in 909 games. So Stepniak, Bruins getting a little bit of depth there, loading up for the playoffs. They did the same thing last year when they signed Brian Gionta to a one-year deal after the Olympics. So same thing, just add a little bit of depth. Somebody goes down in the playoffs or down the stretch, you've got some bodies to fill in those holes. Back to trades, I guess. This desk is really noisy. Listen to that. Don't know. Anyway, back to trades. The Buffalo Sabres trade defenseman Brandon Gouley and a first-round pick to the Ducks for defenseman Brendan. Is that Brandon or Brendan? I believe it's Brendan. Brendan Montour. Brandon Montour. I think it's Brandon, actually. I don't know. For Montour, we'll say. it's a solid deal. The Sabres giving away. They have three first-round picks: one from San Jose, one from St. Louis, and one of their own. So it's believed that they'll be trading away either St. Louis or San Jose's first-round pick to the Ducks for Brandon for Montour, who was kind of finding himself on the outskirts of the Ducks lineup. It's a solid pickup for the Sabres. They needed help defensively, so I think it's a solid pickup for them. Speaking of solid pickups, I mean, for me, of all the trades I've seen today, this might be one of the best ones I've seen all day, in my opinion at least. The Detroit Red Wings trading away Gustav Nyquist to the San Jose Sharks for a 2019 second-round pick and a conditional third-round pick in 2020. So the Sharks, other than this move, I would say they've been pretty quiet today, for the most part, with the exception of the Nyquist trade. I think it's an amazing deal. It's really low risk. I don't know how they stole Nyquist away from the Red Wings for a second round pick and a conditional third round pick. That second round pick is going to be very low, especially considering the aspirations that the Sharks have. And the Wings retained 30% of his contract. So, I mean, the Sharks are a very powerful team. Their defense core is one of the best in the league, and their forwards are, they've got a lot of depth. They've got a lot of great scoring throughout the lineup, and Nyquist just adds to that. It adds another, threat. I just imagine this. Most teams have a hard time shutting down one, maybe two strong lines of another team, right? So imagine this. You burn your first, your top pairing, your top pair of defensemen on, the other team's first line, and then you burn your second pair defending the team's second potent scoring line, right? And the third pairing defenseman, typically, they're trying their hardest, and they usually don't have to face up against the toughest competition. Well, I mean, the Sharks' third line consists of Gustav Nyquist, Timo Meier, and Joe Thornton. It's a pretty good third line. So teams will be tired from defending. San Jose has such incredible depth. I think they're probably one of only on, like one of the only teams that can really compete with Tampa Bay as far as depth goes. I mean, again, most teams burn out all of their best players trying to stop the other team's best players. But when the other team has so many good players, it's hard to defend. I mean, look at the defense core is another perfect example of that. The first line's got Brett Burns and I think it was Justin Braun. And the second line's got Mark Edward Vlasic and Erik Karlsson. It's incredible, and it's such smart coaching by Peter DeBoer, to have those guys layered instead of just overloading and having a top-heavy lineup, spreading out the wealth. It's a really smart idea, so I think it's an amazing deal for the Sharks, and it just pushes them even farther, and I think they're, I don't know, I think they're gonna make a lot of damage in the playoffs. Especially for a team that got swept last year. I mean, do you look at some of the moves made by their general manager? I can't, the name escapes me. I don't think it's Doug Armstrong. No, Doug Armstrong thinks is San Jose's general manager. Let me Google that. Again, if you listen to the show long enough, you know that I think I say this every episode, but I don't like to just spew facts. Without them being right. Okay, so Doug Armstrong, I was right. Well, I was wrong the first time. Doug Armstrong's the GM for the Blues. And the Sharks GM is Doug Wilson. Ah, see, I was close. I had the Doug part right. Okay, anyway. Doug Wilson, I mean, you look at some of the moves he's made. Look at the team last season that got swept in the second round by the Vegas Golden Knights, and you look at them now. I mean, you got guys like Nyquist and Carlson, just to name a few that have come over. It's incredible what he's done for basically nothing. Very impressive. Now, the one thing that'll really be the make or break of that statement I just made about how capable Doug Wilson has been over the last couple of months is if he can re-sign Erik Karlsson in the offseason. That'll be a big one. Anyway. The Blue Jackets really making a big splash in this year's deadline, like I haven't seen them do ever. I haven't seen a team make this much noise in on a deadline day as much as the Blue Jackets. But they keep busy and they acquire goalie Keith Kincaid from the New Jersey Devils for a fifth round pick in 2020. Continuing to add that depth and adding to the speculation of whether or not Sergei Bobrovsky will be moved. Moving away from trades. Whether to your chagrin or not, the Arizona Coyotes retire their longest tenured player who owns most of their offensive record, Shane Doan. They retired Shane Doan's number 19 as it sits in the rafters now out in Arizona. So he was a great player, really great on the ice and off the ice for the Coyotes organization. So congratulations to Shane Doan. Okay. I need a drink. Oof, I am spewing a lot of stuff right now, so just give me a second. It's not like at the studio where I can just put you on break and listen to some music. I need to. We're not gonna do any of that today. Just leaning over to grab my water bottle. Yeah, we won't be doing any music breaks just again because I'm not at the studio. So it's more than likely that today's show I will be shorter than normal, just because. I'm not in the studio and I don't have an opportunity to give those music breaks that normally give me a chance to rest and catch my breath and for you guys to take a mental break. But alas, we must do what we gotta do, you know? Anyway, moving on. The Anaheim Ducks. Keeping active today as they send forward Brian Gibbons to the Ottawa Senators for defenseman Patrick Saleoff. So it's kind of funny. I didn't know this looking at the trade, but further research it showed that Patrick Saleoff was if I don't know if you remember, but a few years ago there was a defenseman. It was during the Ottawa Senators training camp, and Clark MacArthur just came back from like two concussions or whatever, and he was playing in the training camp game. It was a Sens versus Sens game, and this defenseman came over and just labeled MacArthur, and then got in a fight after, and then he actually gave MacArthur another concussion. That defenseman ended up being Patrick Saleoff, who ended up getting traded today. So I thought that was a neat little note about that move. Just a bit of a minor deal here today. The Montreal Canadiens, my team, Making a bit of a minor deal, like I said, they traded away forward Michael Chaput for Jordan Wheel of the Arizona Coyotes. So, small deal for the Canadians. I mean, it's not surprising to. It might be surprising to some Canadians fans that the Habs didn't make very many big moves at the deadline. But to me, who's, done his research and is, I guess, quote, an educated hockey fan, I know it's. It is frustrating. I guess that Mark Bergevin didn't make a blockbuster deal for a number one or number two centerman or like a top pairing defenseman. I know it's frustrating. Any Habs fans out there listening, I know it's frustrating that he didn't make any deals like that. But you have to think of it from a logical standpoint. The Habs are good right now, but they're not win a Stanley Cup this season good. They're not at that spot yet. And I don't think making, barring like a incredible move, I don't think any player coming in would have changed that. And it wouldn't have been worth moving some prospects like Romanov or any first round picks or anything. It's just not worth it at this point, right? Better to stick to the retooling. It's worked so far. Keep. The Habs have a very deep prospect pool and none that we want to trade away. So I think it makes sense that we didn't do very much. We have a pretty solid lineup. We're not expected to win the Stanley Cup. Heck, we weren't even expected to be out of the bottom five. So I think anywhere we go from here on in is good enough for me. There was rumors that Mark Bergevin was looking into somebody with term, like Andrei Burakovsky from the Caps. But as soon as I heard rumors that the Caps were looking to get Arturi Lehkonen back, and Bergevin said no way, which I think is a smart deal. I'm glad Bergevin's being smart and holding back instead of just blowing all of his picks and players to try and get the big fish. I think it's a smart idea. I think it's better to remain calm and not just be like running around like a crazy person trying to get the best player at the deadline. It's a smart move, and there's no doubt that Bergevin was working the phones trying to see if there were any players available with term or any pending UFAs who were looking to sign an extension. I'm sure that he was around looking for players like that. There may not have been any that he was interested in or any that fit the needs of the Habs or that maybe the price was too high. So Bergevin being smart and just making a minor deal for today. And who knows, maybe Jordan Wheel will actually pan out. I mean, when Jeff Petrie was moved to the Canadiens, it was a very small deal. It was just haphazard thrown in, I think like 10 minutes or so after the deadline had passed, as news was still rolling in. Who knows? Then Jeff Petrie became one of the best players on the Habs roster. So, you never know. But I don't know. We'll have to see where that leads. Anyway, moving on after my long tangent on the Habs. Another original six team, the New York Rangers, making a big splash today. They traded away centerman Kevin Hayes to the Winnipeg Jets in exchange for a first round pick and a 2020 conditional fourth round pick and Brandon Lemieux. Now the Winnipeg Jets and the New York Rangers making big trades once again at the deadline. Last year, the Winnipeg Jets made quite the splash, getting Paul Stastny from the St. Louis Blues, and the Rangers, of course, trading away Ryan McDonagh and JT Miller. I think it's a pretty solid deal for both sides. The Rangers getting a first-round pick, obviously, and then a conditional fourth-round pick in 2022. And Brandon Lemieux is not a bad prospect. Well, not a bad young player, I should say. Meanwhile, the Jets get Kevin Hayes, who is a UFA at the end of the year, but there's still room to negotiate a contract with him. So it's likely he'll either play the second or third line. A bit of a minor deal. The Carolina Hurricanes trading Cliff Pooh, for future considerations, and the Florida Panthers getting Thomas Yurko, also for. Oh wait, no, sorry, it's the other way around. Carolina traded Cliff Pooh to the Panthers for future considerations, and the Panthers traded Thomas Yurko to the Carolina Hurricanes for future considerations. Bit of an odd one for me, but I mean, not player wise, but just kind of odd that It was that's the way it went. Instead of just trading player for player, they had to trade each one for future considerations, which is always kind of weird to me. Anyway, this is a deal that kind of surprised me. Not surprised me by who got moved, but surprised me on the return. The Colorado Avalanche trading a third round pick in 2020 to the Florida Panthers for Derek Brassard and a sixth and a conditional sixth round pick. So I don't know. I feel like Derek Brassard is I mean, think about it. The Pens gave up a first round pick for him last year, and for him to be, picked up from Florida for a third round and a sixth round pick, conditional sixth round pick. Oh no, sorry, not even. It was just a third round pick in 2020. So I think Brassard's value has been dropped way, way down because of how he performed in Pittsburgh. I think it's a really solid pickup by the Avalanche. In my opinion, it's a steal. I mean, to get a player like Derek Brassard and possibly a sixth round pick for a third round pick, it's it's a low risk deal for the Avalanche, especially considering they've got a good cupboard of draft picks. So, I think it's a smart move by Joe Sakic. I mean, if it works out, then that's if Brassard turns into the Brassard of old a few years ago with the Rangers, then Joe Sakic's going to be laughing all the way to the bank. And if he doesn't, if he sputters out and doesn't perform, then so what? I mean, you lost a third round pick on a gamble. Who cares, right? Well, I mean, obviously you don't want to be throwing away third round picks, but it's not like Derek Brassard's going to come to the lineup and not do anything. He's going to give something to the lineup. It's just the weight of whatever he does bring. I think it's a smart deal. Moving back to the New York Rangers, they trade away defenseman Adam McQuaid to the Columbus Blue Jackets for a fourth round and a seventh round pick. So Columbus very active today, picking up a lot of pieces. I think it's a solid move by Columbus, getting a little bit of depth on the defense, and getting a defenseman in McQuaid who I personally love. I mean, he's physical, he's a team player, he's a leader, he's got playoff experience. He went to the Cup Finals. He won the Cup in 2011 and went to the Cup Finals in 2014. I mean, the guy's been around the playoffs a long time. And I think it's a really solid deal for Columbus, a fourth and a seventh round pick. Not terrible, give up, but Columbus only having two draft picks in this year's draft as a result of all the moves they made today. So that's kind of interesting as well. The Calgary Flames, it was reported that they were supposed to be in the works for a major deal last night, but it fell through. And they're looking to pick up something out of today. The Flames acquiring Oscar Fantenberg from the LA Kings for a 2020 fourth round pick. And so far, it looks like that's all the damage they've done in today's deadline. Mean, they've got a solid lineup as it is. Anything they would have added, just would have boosted that. But I think that they've got a good enough lineup to do some work. Winnipeg continuing to make some noise in today's deadline. They reacquired Matt Hendricks from the Wild for a seventh round pick. Hendricks was with the team last year in their playoff run, and seventh round pick for him is pretty good, nice and low risk. And this one surprised me. I think this is a massive steal for the Jets. They acquired Nate Beaulieu from the Buffalo Sabres for a sixth round pick. Now, if that's not a case of buying a player low, I don't know what is. I mean, Nathan Beaulieu, Montreal got a third round pick for trading away Nathan Beaulieu to the Buffalo Sabres, which in itself was not a lot, but that's because Beaulieu was on an ex was he didn't have a contract. His contract was expired, right? For the Jets to get a defenseman of Nathan Beaulieu's caliber for a sixth round pick is incredible. I fully believe that it's because I imagine that the Sabres wants to the Jets. No, the Jets went to the Sabres and said, "Hey, we want Nathan Beaulieu. What's the price?" And the Sabres said, "Oh, okay. Well, we want maybe let's say a fourth round pick." And the Jets said, "Well, that's not gonna happen. He's been scratched for X amount of games, and we barely have anything to look at him with." And then the Sabres said, "Damn, that's a good point. We'll take a sixth round pick." And the Jets say, "Thank you. Have a good day." I mean, for I just I'm astounded by that, to pick up a player like Beaulieu, who's got term. He's got, I believe he's, well, actually I shouldn't say anything about that because I'm not sure if his contract ends after this year. But again, to get somebody like Beaulieu for at least just this playoff run is, for a sixth round pick to round out the your top six is pretty solid. So I think it's a great move. And the Jets continue to make moves as they also acquired defenseman Bogdan, I'm gonna butcher this, Kiselevich from the Florida Panthers. So the Jets making a big splash today. Didn't land the big fish, but doing a lot of good moves today. But speaking of the big fish, we'll get to that in a second. A trade that kind of surprised me when I read it. I mean, I knew that this player was struggling, but I did not envision him getting traded. And I'd also heard this other player's name in the mix of trade rumors, and I didn't think he would be moved either. But never fails to surprise. The Nashville Predators trading away Kevin Fiala, who's an RFA at the end of the year, to the Minnesota Wild for Mikael Granlund, who has 1 year left on his deal after this season. So Fiala has been struggling all season long with the Preds, and I just think he needed a change of scenery. But I didn't think that, I really didn't see that Nashville would be trading him, and I sure didn't think that Minnesota would be trading away somebody as talented as Mikael Granlund. But this deal actually reminds me a lot of the Victor Rask for Nino Niederreiter trade. Slightly. With, in my opinion, the Wild giving up the more talented player. But, I think it's a solid deal. It's gonna be interesting to see all these players in new jerseys and for playing for new teams. But yeah, a good deal for both teams. I mean, the Wild know what Kevin Fiala is capable of. He may not have been doing it recently, but again, they know what he's capable of. And the Predators getting a very talented player in Mikael Granlund, who can perform in the playoffs as we've seen in the past, and he's got term on his deal, which is even better. This deal also, I mean, if we're talking about deals that surprised me, this deal really kind of took me by surprise. The Pittsburgh Penguins acquired defenseman Eric Gudbranson from the Vancouver Canucks for Tanner Pearson. Now, this was a bit of a strange move because I thought Tanner Pearson was, a really smart move made early in the season when they traded Carl Hagelin to the Kings. And picked up Pearson. I thought that was a solid deal. You got Pearson, who's got a bit of a scoring touch, but is more of a two-way player. I thought that was a great move. And then they go and trade him for Eric Gudbranson, who everyone in the league, everyone who's anyone, well, anyway, I don't want to say that, but a lot of people consider that Eric Gudbranson is one of the worst defensemen in the league. So it's a questionable deal for me. I personally see it as the Penguins are just desperate to fill a hole. In their lineup after they lost Chris Letang and Brian Dumoulin to injury after the Stadium Series game with the Flyers. So, I don't know. We'll have to see how it works out. I think the Canucks get a really solid player in Tanner Pearson. And I guess the Pens get I would say Gudbranson probably. Well, he's definitely a top six defenseman. I mean, put top four might be pushing it. But they add to their depth, hopefully, when Letang and Dumoulin return. But right now, he'll be filling a bigger role than he will have, hopefully, later on in the season when those two return. The Boston Bruins making some big trades, bolstering their lineup. So they bolster their forward group with acquiring Marcus Johansson today from the New Jersey Devils in exchange for a 2019 second round pick and a 2020 fourth round pick. I think it's a really good deal for the Bruins. They didn't give up too much. If you look last year, they gave up a lot for Rick Nash. So I think they learned their lesson when that didn't exactly pan out. So they gave up less this year when they get Marcus Johansson for a lot less than what they gave up for Rick Nash last year. And Johansson's a really solid player in a bit of a slump right now. But I mean, when you're playing in New Jersey with nothing really around you, you're bound to slump. Meanwhile, he's going to be playing in Boston with a lot of talented players, most likely on the second line. So he'll probably be playing with David Krejci, which will be good for him. And they already made some pretty solid deals. Well, I guess a solid deal earlier last week when they acquired Charlie Coyle from the Minnesota Wild for Ryan Donato and a fifth round pick. Coyle, who's got term on his contract, I believe it's 1 year. I believe next year he signed into next year. And they didn't give up too much. Ryan Donato is like I'd say like a B level prospect, and a fifth round pick's pretty good. So it's a that was a good move by the Bruins. I think they're a little more quiet than they would have hoped. Again, not landing the big fish, but definitely not those two moves. Nothing to stick your nose up to. Those two guys will definitely improve the Bruins lineup. So I'm just checking my phone to see if any last minute trades came in because the deadline is 3 o'clock, but sometimes trades are made before then and the details are just being finalized and then they show up like 30 minutes or an hour after the deadline, but it's almost 5 o'clock, so it's safe to say that all trades that I have been made, but I haven't said all of them yet. So for all you out there who are like, oh, what about this trade, I will get to that in a second. This one's a bit of an older trade. This happened last week. The Edmonton Oilers trade away goalie Cam Talbot to the Philadelphia Flyers for goalie Alex Stolarz. So Cam Talbot going to Philly will be the eighth goaltender to play for the Philadelphia Flyers this season, making that an NHL record. He definitely needs a change of scenery. He's a UFA at the end of the year, so it'll be interesting to see if Philadelphia does re-sign him. The Oilers get a pretty decent player in Alex Stolarz. I mean, it's gonna be interesting to see what he does with the lineup. I guess as they look to be going with Mikko Koskinen as their number one officially. So it'll be an interesting little back and forth to see who gets the line to get the starting role out in Philadelphia. I assume it's gonna be Brian Elliott and then backed up by Cam Talbot, but we'll have to see. The St. Louis Blues acquiring Michael Delzotto, the defenseman from the Anaheim Ducks, for a sixth-round pick. Nice quiet deal by the Blues, who've been rather quiet today. I think it's a solid pickup. I mean, it's a sixth-round pick. Delzotto has been around the league, and he's been on some pretty good teams. If you recall, when he was with the New York Rangers, when they went to the Conference Finals. I'm not sure if he was still there when they were in the Stanley Cup Finals with the Kings. We'll do another small deal and then we'll list off two really big deals. So the small deal is the Toronto Maple Leafs pick up forward Nick Petan. From the Winnipeg Jets for Par Lindholm. I don't know much about either player, so I can't really speak too much on it. All I can say is it's a minor deal, right? Leafs probably just looking to switch things up, get a little bit of depth, I assume. If I remember correctly, Nick Petan. I don't know. Let me take a look here. I think I might be getting him mixed up with another player. Yeah, I am. So, I mean, we'll see. Anywho, let's move to a big trade done today. The Nashville Predators, they got the worst power play in the league, and they sure look to improve it as they last 2 weeks ago they acquired Brian Boyle, who is a good playoff power play guy and a good playoff guy. They'll look to improve it like that. With Boyle, but now they're definitely making a move to improve it as they traded for Wayne Simmonds to the Philadelphia Flyers, giving up Ryan Hartman and a conditional 2020 fourth round pick. Yeah, that's a really solid deal for the Preds. Simmonds, his skating isn't what it once was, but I mean Simmonds has excellent power play numbers. I think he was like third or fourth in the NHL in like the last 10 years or so. Maybe I wouldn't say that. Oh, maybe 10 years, yeah. In power play goals. So he'll definitely help Nashville on that power play, being that big net front presence. Geez. And yeah, he will definitely help with that. And adds a little bit of grit to Nashville's lineup. And they didn't give up too much. Ryan Hartman, they got last year from the Blackhawks, and fourth round picks, not too bad. So I mean, both sides are satisfied, I assume. And now we're going to be getting into arguably, I would say, probably the biggest deal of the day. I was looking for it, because I had a feeling it was going to happen. It was, for me, it was the most likely, not the most likely, but the most likely of like the big ones. So the Las Vegas Golden Knights land the big fish. They land Mark Stone, sending prospect Erik Brännström, forward Oscar Lindberg, and Dallas's 2020 second round pick. And it is looking like Stone will sign an 8-year, 9.5 million dollar contract, like not 9.5, like $9.5 million a year for 8 years. So Stone couldn't work out an extension with the Sens, instead gets traded to Vegas, and looks like we'll re-sign there. And that being the third and final big domino to fall in Ottawa, I mean, it's pretty incredible when you think about, this team, geez, like 2 or 3 years ago, was in the Stanley Cup Conference Finals. And then just one goal blew up that entire team. It's insane to think. But like I said, here we are. Stone, Duchesne, Dzingel, Carlson, they're all got Hoffman, they're all gone. And the Sens organization just picking at the pieces of what once was, trying to stack prospects and players. They have a first round pick now, which they got from Columbus. And they, they really get a solid prospect, in Brännström. So yeah, those were so far. I mean, not so far. It looks like those would be all the trades made into, well, this season, until draft day. So we're gonna go here and look at all the players who were on the trade bait board and didn't end up getting moved. Actually, I think it'd be interesting to look at all the needs that I said that the top, I think it's top 18 teams needed, and whether or not they fixed or at least addressed those moves. A small deal here: the Pittsburgh Penguins acquiring defenseman Chris Wideman from the Florida Panthers for Jean-Sebastien D. Day, day. I don't know how to pronounce that. DEA. Yeah. So we'll look at first. We'll look at the top 18 teams to see if they address the needs that I thought they needed to address, and then we'll look at the top 20 players from TSN's trade bait board from last week, and see if they if any who went where and who didn't move. So first, the Tampa Bay Lightning will look to improve their bottom six by adding more depth scoring. To my knowledge, the Lightning didn't do anything today. I don't think so. Let me just scroll through here. So, I mean, they've already got a pretty perfect lineup, so I didn't expect too much from them today. But they didn't do anything, which is neither good nor bad. Again, like I said, the Lightning have a really solid lineup, and it doesn't surprise me that they didn't do anything today, or in the last couple of days. The Calgary Flames also look to improve the bottom six, and the defense corps is pretty solid, but they could afford to look at somebody. They didn't end up getting any forwards. I knew they were looking to get somebody like Michael Ferland. He didn't end up moving today, and apparently they had a big deal, which didn't pan out. But they got a little bit of defensive depth when they picked up. Hang on, let me find him here. Oh boy. Oh, right there. Oscar Fantenberg from LA. The Jets will look to add a second line center and more scoring. And yeah, they went above and beyond that today. They acquired Kevin Hayes, who I assume will either play the second or third line. But they did a lot more than just that today. They went and picked up Kevin Hayes, like I said, Matt Hendricks, Nathan Beaulieu. I believe that was it. So, I mean, the Jets not landing Mark Stone as they had hoped, but yeah, not doing terrible. Moving on, the San Jose Sharks are hoping to improve bottom six. Most teams looking to improve. Oh, yeah, sorry, I made a note saying that most top teams are pretty solid. They only look to improve their bottom six. And the Sharks did that and more by acquiring Gustav Nyquist, who not only will improve their bottom six, but might improve their top six. So yeah, Sharks doing exactly as well, more than I expect. I didn't again. I didn't expect them to land that. Yeah, like I was saying in my notes here, the Sharks and the Flames need more consistent goaltending. Like we'll have to see how that turns out. The Islanders, they need to acquire a top six defenseman. The Islanders very quiet today. They didn't do anything. So I mean, I guess they felt that either their lineup was good enough, or they didn't want to give up too much, or there just wasn't anything that interested them in the market. The Leafs hope for cap offload or toxic defenseman. The Leafs didn't do any of that. They didn't offload any of their cap space, and they didn't get any defensemen today, only making a small minor deal forward for forward. The Nashville Predators, they need a bottom six and improved power play, and they did that by, yeah. Well, I mean, they did more than just that. They improved their power play by getting Wayne Simmonds, and they improved their top six by swapping, well, I would say they improved their top six by swapping out Kevin Fiala for Michael Granlund. Boston Bruins improving their depth scoring and their second line scoring. So they did that. They got Charlie Coyle and Marcus Johansson, who will 100%, both of them will help the second line, maybe even the third line. So definitely improving that depth scoring, which has been their downfall the last couple of years. Montreal left side defenseman improved power play. They didn't do any of that. They really only got a little bit of depth in picking up Jordan Weal. I mean, I did say upgrade in center, so maybe, I mean, we'll have to see if Jordan Weal's an upgrade. I mean, I guess they technically did upgrade when they got Nate Thompson. The Washington Capitals, probably bottom six. I just think they need a spark. I believe they made a move today. Oh yeah, they only really picked up on defense. Oh no, they also got Carl Hagelin. What am I saying? So yeah, the Caps improving their forward lineup and their defensive lineup, picking up two solid players in Carl Hagelin and Nick Jensen. Vegas could use a top six defenseman and bottom six depth. Well, they did more than that. They didn't make any moves as far as defensemen, and they did a lot more than getting bottom six depth. They severely increased the tenacity and the two-way dimension of their top six by picking up Mark Stone and extending him. So, really good move there. Columbus needs to figure out Panarin and Bobrovsky situations. They didn't, I suppose, but they did a lot to bring a lot more pieces to this lineup. I would say Columbus, the biggest. Well, not I don't even need to say it's very obvious that Columbus was the biggest player in the deadline. They moved a lot of players. They moved a lot of pieces, and yeah, I think definitely a win today for the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Penguins need to get healthy. Ironically, that's not what happened. They got even more unhealthy when they lost Letang and Dumoulin. So they went out and addressed that need by getting good Branson. The Carolina Hurricanes could use more scoring depth. They didn't end up getting anybody. The Carolina Hurricanes, to my knowledge, didn't make any moves today other than the minor deal to get Thomas Yurko. So, Canes rather quiet, but in a playoff spot. The Dallas Stars need a top six or top four or top six defenseman, and they need a bit of a scoring spark. They did get Connor Carrick, who I guess could help their top six. But they also picked up Matt Zuccarello, who will definitely help. Their top six. When Matt Zuccarello gets healthy and gets back in the lineup, he will definitely be a spark for that team. I am positive that Dallas made another move today. I want to say that they picked up another defenseman other than Carrick. Guess I'm wrong. Yeah, okay, I know. Moving on, the Buffalo Sabres need a top four or top six defenseman. They did that by getting Braden Montour. I'm solving that issue right now. I am figuring out how his name is, if it's Brandon or Braden Montour. Brandon, okay. Brandon Montour, my bad. Okay. And the St. Louis Blues need goaltending, but they figured that out with Binnington. They need scoring. I mean, I know they made a trade today. It was a small deal, but so let's see here. Yeah, they got Michael Delzato, so I don't know how much that helps them. And the Wild, they need defensive forwards to make up for Koivu. They didn't. It looks as though the Wild will be, well, they were sellers at the deadline. They traded away guys like Coyle and Granlund. Erik Staal not moving, which was surprising. So yeah, those were the top 18 teams then. Since that time, let me take a look here at the standings. Since that time, Pittsburgh's moved out of a playoff spot, but Carolina is in one right now, occupying the second wild card spot, 1 point back of Montreal. And the, well, I guess, yeah, that's it. Nothing else really changed in the West other than just positional. So yeah, now let's take a look at the top 20 players. From TSN's trade bait board, that where they ended up and what happened to them. So we'll start with number 20, Jonathan Huberdeau. Didn't end up getting moved. He was supposed to be part of a package deal with Florida and the Columbus Blue Jackets to move Artturi Panarin and Sergei Bobrovsky. That never happened, so Huberdeau did not move. Braden Schenn also didn't move, probably because the Blues are making a name for themselves now in the West. Roslovic was supposed to be part of a trade, well, rumored to be one of the wants for the Ottawa Senators, sending Mark Stone over to Winnipeg. Never happened, so Roslovic didn't move. Adam Henrique also didn't move. Marcus Johansson got traded to Boston. Brett Pesce didn't move from Carolina. Kevin Hayes got traded to the Winnipeg Jets from the Rangers. Jimmy Howard didn't move, also surprising. Detroit, very quiet today, other than Nyquist. Cam Talbot ended up getting traded by Edmonton to the Philadelphia Flyers. Michael Ferland didn't move, probably because the Carolina Hurricanes are pretty confident in themselves now. Sergei Bobrovsky, kind of surprising, didn't move. So either he re-signs with Columbus, which is seems like it'll be a long shot at this point. Looks like he might walk for nothing. It's a dangerous prospect. Charlie Coyle got moved to the Bruins. Gustav Nyquist got traded by the Red Wings to the San Jose Sharks. Dougie Hamilton didn't move, again, probably because Carolina banking on themselves. Mats Zuccarello got traded to the Dallas Stars. Mark Stone, surprisingly, got traded to the Vegas Golden Knights. I thought of all three of those picks, or those players, Dzingel, Duchesne, and Stone. Stone would be the most likely to re-sign. The Winnipeg Jets first-round pick ended up being traded to the Rangers in the deal that sent Kevin Hayes to Winnipeg. Wayne Simmonds ended up going to the Predators. Matt Duchene went to Columbus. And speaking of Columbus, Artturi Panarin, like Sergei Bobrovsky, did not end up moving, which is surprising. So it, I mean, Columbus was very bold today by making a lot of good moves and picking up a lot of players. However, if things don't work out, it can really turn sour for Columbus really quickly because they have a lot of UFAs on their roster right now. Panarin, Duchesne is a UFA. Bobrovsky, they just got McQuaid, who's also a UFA. Kincaid's a UFA. So if all these guys decide to walk in the offseason, then not only did they spend all these picks and prospects getting Duchesne, Dzingel as well. Dzingel's an RFA, I believe. But regardless, they risk losing Duchesne, Bobrovsky, Panarin. Well, I guess, they lose whatever they gave up for Duchesne, kind of like Ottawa almost did. But they also, don't get anything back for losing players like Bobrovsky or Panarin, who, are very notable big players. I mean, Panarin's leading the team every year, and Bobrovsky's a two-time Vezina winner. So if both those guys walk for nothing, it's going to be, things are going to turn very sour out in Columbus, regardless of whether or not they win the cup or not. So by looking at all the moves here, who do I think is the winner? Well, I don't think there's one. There's only one winner from today's deadline. I mean, we have to see how things pan out. Sometimes players who get moved don't end up working out the way that you want. I mean, just look at Rick Nash last year with the Bruins. But looking at things right now, I would say Columbus definitely a winner today as they picked up big names, making a lot of moves. Vegas a winner by picking up Mark Stone. San Jose a winner by making a pretty small sacrifice to get Gustav Nyquist. Boston, surprisingly, a winner, getting Charlie Coyle and Marcus Johansson for not a lot. Winnipeg, I'm hesitant to say they're a winner. They got a lot of great players today, like Hayes and Beaulieu and Hendricks. But I think they might have overpaid a little bit for Hayes. Don't get me wrong, he's great, but I believe they gave up they gave up a first round pick and a conditional second, I believe, for Hayes, which is a lot. How is it not anywhere in my notes? You can't see, but I am making a very upset face right now at my notes. Okay, whatever. I still think they overpaid a little bit for Hayes, but if he re-signs, then I guess if he re-signs and they win the cup, then I guess it doesn't matter. Oh God, it's right here in front of me. First round pick. Oh no, it was a first round pick and a fourth round pick. Then Brandon Lemieux. Still think it's a little bit much, giving up a first round pick, but it's not terrible. It's not as bad as I initially thought. So I mean, yeah. Well, we'll have to see how well Hayes meshes. He's been having a good year. Yeah, we'll call Winnipeg a winner. Dallas, almost a winner if Zuccarello would have stayed healthy. The Preds, definitely a winner by getting Simmons and, in my opinion, upgrading Granlund. The Caps, a winner by picking up Hagelin for not a lot. Some losers. Calgary, they lost out on what sounds like a big deal. I would argue the Jets because they missed out on getting Duchesne and Stone and had to settle and take a bit of a step back and get Hayes. The Islanders, I wouldn't necessarily say they're a loser. They just didn't do anything today. Same with the Habs. The Pens, I would say a bit of a loser there, picking up Gudbranson for Pearson. I think it's a kind of a lopsided trade. The Canes again didn't do much, but I think they needed to get something today. Actually, I would think a big loser would be Florida because Florida expected a lot out of today. I mean, they were really hoping to nail Panarin and Bobrovsky, didn't, and in my opinion, they threw Brassard away for nothing. Another big loser would be any team who thought they were going to get Artemi Panarin and Sergei Bobrovsky and banked everything on that. Similar to the situation that Winnipeg had where they banked everything. They didn't bank everything on Stone because they ended up getting Hayes, but still, it's a loss to build up all that hype and to want to get these players and then not get anything for them or not get them at all. Anyway, with that, I think that'll close it on today's show. I mean, I don't know, no big trades are coming in anymore. Everything looks to be settled. So, if you're a hockey fan, I would suggest just kind of taking a step back and try and recover from all the craziness, because this has definitely been one of the busiest trade deadlines I've seen in a long time. So thank you all for listening. Thank you all for tuning in. I hope you all enjoyed. Good luck to you and your teams with whatever moves you made. And yeah, I've been your host, Andrew Richard. This has been Richard's Ringside Radio. Have a good day.